Elisha's servant brought to Elijah the 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of corn, saying, there's no way this is going to feed 100 people. But Elisha made it more than enough. Andrew thought that the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish that were being brought by this little boy certainly didn't come close to being able to feed the 5,000 who were gathered. But Jesus made it more than enough. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus about God's ability to accomplish abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. But how hard is it really for us to sometimes recognize abundance? It's something I think we all struggle with at one time or another, and I'd like to dwell on that a little bit this morning. Sometimes we think about the scarcity of money to do what we want. Yesterday I was asked to speak at a memorial service for one of the founding members of St. Stephen's in San Jose, where I was for 15 years. And Jim Glancy just became an instant dear friend, just a very likable guy. But I learned quickly that he had passions, and I had so much fun talking about the passions that he carried with him into the relationship that I had with him, woodworking, just relishing and getting a good bargain on something, and just having a love and a wish to care for the homeless. And so I learned, as I got to know Jim, that his profession for his working life was selling car parts, car supplies. And so he would travel around to gas stations and travel on to, along to car parts places. So not really all that glamorous, high-ranking of a job. He lived a humble life. He had a pretty simple home in San Jose. And the whole time I'd known him, he was retired. But what I ended up seeing was him taking, for instance, the passion of woodworking that he used to build from pews that he had somehow found or gotten from a chapel that was being shut down in Gilroy. And he used the wood from the pews, the redwood, to make wall crosses. And those wall crosses I ended up using for my whole time there to go to use at house blessings as gifts to the owners of the homes so they could display these wall crosses in their homes. I remember there's a large arched altar rail at St. Stephen's, and I remember him telling me the story that when they were building the church in 1974, he decided, I'm going to go to a local trade school. I'm going to talk to their woodworking group that we could work a deal here, because they really need to learn in that woodworking group how to laminate woods and how to curve them, and we need an altar. And so he ended up getting at no charge this gorgeous altar. So it allowed him to combine his woodworking with a real love to strike a sharp bargain. He just loved to strike. I mean, that to him was the ultimate thing. So another passion is this caring for the poor and the homeless. And it started out by him, whenever there was cold weather coming, he would ask for an insert in the church bulletin to just ask people to contribute gloves and hats and socks. And that ended up in him also asking people for money so that he could go out and buy some of those things. And he ended up striking a deal with the manager of the local Kohl's store, that whenever they had excess inventory, they'd stash it away for him, and he'd end up getting a whole box of socks and underwear and scarves and mittens and knit hats for like $5. And so what he did with those at first was to put them in the trunk of his car and go to a homeless shelter, and he didn't want a middle person. He wanted to have people come up, and he would say, what do you need? And I remember before him coming back, and he had no socks on because he gave his own socks away, or he had no coat on because he gave his own coat away. He said, oh, I can get more of that stuff. But, you know, what he ended up finding was he had passions for these things, but he offered them as gifts to God, right? It wasn't just about doing those things, but it was about how can God turn it into something even greater. And he'd come in with these stories of these great things that happened to turn a little gift into a huge thing. This really ended up teaching me in my own spiritual journey a big lesson about whether we approach life from the viewpoint of abundance or if we approach it from the viewpoint of scarcity. And even though he didn't have a lot, he produced a lot. He just used his gifts to end up providing real blessings to a lot of people. This ended up turning into what we called Jim's Closet, that was a storage shed that we put up on the grounds. And all year long, we would collect clothing. And we'd wait for the cold weather to come, and then we'd start doing the distribution. And that went on for years. Sometimes we think about the abundant jobs that other people have that we've missed out on. And it made me think about a decision that Ruth and I made about 20 years ago, that I would leave engineering and go into ordained ministry. You need to know that that resulted in, right now I think I'm making about 1/10 of the money I made when I was a private consultant doing engineering work. And so that could be something that I approach from the standpoint of feeling the scarcity of all that. But there's no scarcity in it at all. I end up being able, through ministry, to use what I think are pretty weak gifts of pastoral caregiving and listening and those kinds of things, designing services. And what I'm able to do is be part of people's lives in really important times in their lives, when they're baptizing their children or having confirmation for their teenagers or planning a marriage or planning a service for a loved one who's passed away, going to the hospital. I remember when Trish was in an induced coma, I was there with her two sisters. And for that brief time, I was a core part of their family. And, you know, that's a rare blessing. I had a priest friend of mine once say, when you're in those situations, watch it, because you're walking on hallowed ground. And I feel that so deeply. And it's so rewarding. So who cares about my income as long as I don't get evicted from my house, you know? I mean, there's a blessing that I receive out of this work I never received sitting at a keyboard 70 hours a week doing computer programming stuff. So sometimes we might feel that we have a scarcity in meaningful friendships. And I know from my work in the corporate world, I've worked for one company I worked with for 15 years, and I'm in contact with no one from that 15 years in the corporate world. I lived in San Jose for 35 years, and in that time, I might know the name of the person next door, probably not even know the name of anybody beyond that, and I'm in contact with no one in San Jose after 35 years. Except for people in the church. I sit around this coffee table and I see you all having conversations about things going on with friends of yours, and so many of you have friends that you've had since you were in grade school together. And I hope you realize what an abundance that is that you are blessed with. I mean, it not only takes determination on your part, it not only takes committing time invested in those friendships, but it really takes God putting a bunch of God incidents together for you to make sure that those links stay in place. I think I have in my life maybe 3 or 4 people I would qualify as lifelong friends. And I really consider that a sign of God's abundance that I would have 3 or 4. So seeing what I see here, wow, you're so far ahead of me. And I want you to recognize what a blessing it is, in case you don't already know, to have that blessing of God's abundance of meaningful friendships. An interesting point that I was considering was in looking at the feeding of the 5,000, in Mark's version of this miracle, he says that Jesus had compassion on them. And this idea of Jesus having compassion really struck me. What was it that prompted the compassion? Because they weren't complaining about being hungry, were they? It was the disciples who said, gee, they might be getting hungry. Maybe we should prepare some food. So the compassion doesn't seem like it would have been about Jesus having compassion about their hunger. Maybe it was compassion about the passion they were showing over the learning, the teaching that they were getting from listening to him talk about a deep relationship with God. Maybe that's the passion that he wanted to make sure kept going, and that they got it in abundance. And so there really is a connection here, I think, between abundance and looking at scarcity and where our passions lie and how we use those passions. Jesus taught about compassion and love and caring for others. And he certainly taught about having passion in our relationship with God. In John's Revelation, in the book of Revelation, he talks about don't be lukewarm about God. You can be cold or you can be hot, but do not be lukewarm. And I think that's Jesus, the heart of Jesus' teaching about having that passion. We ended up reading a passage from the book of Ephesians that really has this whole issue of God's abundance and what we do about it, how we recognize it, how we receive it, in a really concise prayer. I'd like you to open up your prayer books, if you would, to page 102. And page 102 is at the end of the morning prayer service for, I think, right to. And is a repeat of the very last sentence of our reading from Ephesians. But I'd like us to say it together from the prayer book, page 102, and it's the bottom paragraph. You ready? Okay. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. The abundance of God. The abundance of God. And for us to live a life looking at the abundance in our life and not the scarcity. Like Elisha's servant, like the boy on the hillside, you and I are to offer whatever skill, whatever resources we have, however small, meaningless we think they are, but then depend on God to make them into an offering that is abundant. And I've given you lots of examples here of cases. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in the lives of people around me where abundance has just filled their lives. And I think this is the key to this, is to address where our passions are and how we can use those passions to offer them as a gift to God. And then stand back and watch what happens. Amen.